So you may ask, why does God call someone or people to leave family and home and travel around the world, to leave what's familiar and to go somewhere else? And I'm here to testify this morning that the excitement of it doesn't give staying power. The fun isn't enough. So why do people go and do this? And is what we're doing in Spain any more important than what's happening here in South Carolina, in Due West? God doesn't call special people to do special work. He only calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things for Him. And so I'd like to challenge you this morning through the Word of God to think about, what is my role in the kingdom and how do I fit? And before we go on, I'd like to clarify several terms that I'm going to be using. And the first is kingdom. And we use that word a lot, but what does it mean? What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a king and his domain, right? You have to have a king, but you have to have something he's ruling over. So in this case, the kingdom of God is God and all who willingly submit to his kingship. Secondly, is the term gifts. And gifts are special abilities that God has given to you to build his kingdom. And in this time, I'm going to use it interchangeably with the words calling, assignment, or role. So if you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to be reading through chapter 13, verse 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagans, that when you were pagans, you were led astray with mute idols, to mute idols, where, however, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. I'll pause briefly here and just say, no one who says Jesus is only a prophet does that by the Spirit of God. And that's what Muslims do. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there would be no division in the body, and that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various gifts of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. So imagine with me this morning, if I'd be standing up here in front of you, one giant eyeball. That wouldn't be very attractive. And it wouldn't be very useful. Or maybe you could see I'd be one of those little wind-up mouth things, you know, I'd set up here and it'd be talking away. It could maybe communicate the same things, but it wouldn't have the same effect. So to stand here before you this morning, I need all of my body. I need my feet to hold me up. I need my mouth, my voice box, my lungs. And if my heart would suddenly stop pumping, or my mind would suddenly stop functioning, as it does sometimes, it wouldn't work. So Paul uses that analogy to compare to the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom is the essence. It is a kingdom. Okay, Jesus said, the kingdom has come. But he uses various things to help us understand what the kingdom is. So and one of the ways here Paul is using is that the kingdom is like a body with many parts. And each part is important. Each part has a role to play. And without any of the parts, something is missing. So in our chapter, in our portion of scripture this morning, I'm going to make several observations. First of all, in verse 4, Paul says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. So God gives, the same God, the one God, has different assignments for each of us, has different roles for each of us to play. And then in verse 11, he says that he assigns these roles, he assigns these gifts to whoever he wills. So it's God who makes the decision, not me. And it's good he does, because only God has the eternal perspective. I get caught up in my little story, and I miss the big part. And I think, God, if you would have gifted me this way, God, if you would have given me this, God, if you would do something different, it would work. But I don't have the eternal perspective. I only have the perspective of my small part of God's big kingdom. And so God is the one who chooses. In verse 11, he says, God who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then God's desire is for unity and oneness, not for injustice. So God doesn't divvy out gifts and abilities or callings out of injustice. So why do we sit around and say, well, he has more, he has better, so I'm not going to do anything? Because God has a specific assignment. If you're part of God's kingdom, he has a specific assignment for you. And God is not unjust. In verses 24 and 25, it says, God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So in God's economy, what we value, what we don't value, is actually what God values. So what other people value. And I struggle with that a lot in my own life. You know, to say, well, I see around me and I see what people value. And I can't quite, you know, I can't quite get there. But in God's economy, what's not God values what people don't value. In Hebrews 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unjust, so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you do. And so, whatever you're doing in God's kingdom, God sees. And God is not unjust. And even though it feels like sometimes maybe your gifts aren't very valuable, God values them. And he's the one who gave them to you for a specific purpose. So, the same God has different assignments for each of us. And then secondly, every person has an assignment for the common good in God's kingdom. In verses 6 and 7, there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So if you're part of God's kingdom, you have a gift. You have a call. You have an assignment. Because it doesn't say God gives it to some. He says all and everyone. And it's for the common good, in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there are no spectators in the kingdom of God, only participants. So if you think of professional sports, right? You have a few people playing and thousands of spectators sitting and watching, and they're cheering, and they're, you know, but they're spectators, they're not participants. Each of us in the kingdom of God are participants. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you are called to participate. In a kingdom, if the poor farmer stops raising his crops, or the poor miller stops milling the grain, how's the kingdom going to be fed? So those might not feel very grand and great, but they're very, very important. So if you are a spectator this morning, then somewhere in God's kingdom, something isn't getting done. Spectator equals unfinished work. And it usually leaves somebody playing too many parts. So every person has an assignment for the common good of all in God's kingdom. Thirdly, gifts are for building up the body, not for self-gratification. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it's not about making myself look good, but it's about building the body of Christ. It's about building the kingdom. So the abilities that God has given you are not for yourself. They're meant to be shared. And one of, for a lot of years, I spent my life holding back my gifts because I wanted to make sure people were going to accept me before I risk giving them. And so I spent a lot of time and energy figuring out if I was going to be accepted before I would offer my gifts. And one of the most helpful things someone said to me was, "Marvin, you're robbing people of a blessing because God has given them to you for their good. And so I don't know what your gifts or abilities are. I don't know most of you here this morning. But I do know that God has given you something to share with others. And then gifts are usually discovered in the context of the body. I would like to spend, I would like it if I could just go in my closet and pray and say, "God, what gifts have you given me?" And then he tells me, and then I go out and use my gifts. But usually the gifts are discovered in the context of the body, right? How does my hand know how to work? Because it's part of my body. And so here this morning, if you're not sure what your gifts are, plug into the local body. Look for things that need to be done. Ask your pastors, and they didn't tell me to say this. Ask your pastors for ways that you can help. Maybe even ask them what things they see in you that that God has given you to build up the body. So gifts are usually discovered in the context of the body. And you're not probably not going to discover your gifts if you remain disconnected from the local church. Living in community gives the opportunity to find and to refine our God-given gifts. And then each gift is needed and important, even those that are least valued, and we talked about that briefly. I had an aunt, her name was Mary Spiker. She was my mother's twin sister. She never got married, and she kind of lived in the background a bit. She wasn't well known in the community. She was, but she passed away several years ago, and I felt the loss all the way over in Spain because I knew that someone who was praying for me every day was gone. And every month, she would send just a small amount of money, but it was always there. She was always faithful. And so that gift to most people was not really valued, but it was invaluable to the kingdom of God. And it's those kind of people that give us the power, the ability to stay when things go tough. And then fourthly, the kingdom is a well-functioning body. And here's where the Trinity is a perfect example of unity and diversity. We have three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of them is fully united in purpose and will. And it's only because of that that they can function together as a single unit. And if you think of the body, if one part malfunctions, the whole body is affected. So the body has to adapt. The body has to adjust. It's possible for me to live without my legs, but I would have to totally adjust my lifestyle. Most of the a lot of the things I do, I couldn't do anymore. And so the whole body is affected. So you might say, well, it's not, I'm not that important. The church goes on without me. Yeah, but if you're not here, if you're not plugged in, if you're not doing your part, the whole body is affected. And then we are called to look out for each other in verse 25. It says, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And then finally, love is the vital ingredient that binds this all together. Love is what gives us the ability to keep our gifts others-focused. In the first part of chapter 13 there, it talks about, I can do all these great things, but if I don't have love, if it doesn't come out of a heart of love for Christ's kingdom, for his people, then it's going to simply be a noise. It's going to be a clanging cymbal or a gong. And he says, I'm nothing. So love is the vital ingredient that gives your ability to use your gifts for the good of others. Love makes all the difference between a good gift and a good gift gone bad. So whatever your calling is, if you don't have love, you can actually begin to destroy the body. And that's one of the a dangerous thing that happens, and I've heard of it happening, when the immune system actually begins to attack the body. And it destroys itself from the inside. So the immune system is a good thing, but when it goes bad, it actually is very destructive. So this morning, God's kingdom is designed to win. It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In Hebrews 12, 28, it says, we have come to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's not that might not be shaken or will not be shaken, but it cannot be shaken. And you are invited to join and to help build that kingdom. What a calling we have. So if you are a part of God's kingdom, you have an important role to play. You have an assignment to complete, a gift to utilize, a duty to perform, a job to do, given to you by God through His Holy Spirit. Is everyone called to leadership? No. Is everyone called to cross-cultural ministry? No. Are all called to be Sunday school teachers? No. Are all called to, and you fill in the blank, no. Are all called to work for the kingdom? Yes, most certainly. So if this morning, I don't know what your role is in the kingdom, but God does. And so if you're uncertain and confused this morning about what God has given you to do, I encourage you to start where you are. Offer yourself to God, and then be alert to ways that God can use you. Find ways to invest in others' lives and to bless other people. Investing in the local church will help to clarify and bring to light the gifts that God has given you. And then for you, those of you who have been using your gifts, and God has maybe a little more in the open, in the light. I say, don't get stuck where you are. Let God surprise you. Maybe God has something more for you to do. Find out what God is doing around the world. Ask God what your role might be in the larger kingdom. Find ways to pray for the work around the world, to give, or maybe even to go. Because God has, this morning again, a special call on each one of our lives, and none of us is exempt. And He has called us to be part of His eternally unshakable kingdom. And any investment we make in that kingdom is well made. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning that you have called us into Your kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and that You've gifted each one of us in unique ways, and You have a special call in each one of our lives. And I want to pray, Lord, for this congregation this morning, that You would continue to bring to light the gifts that are here and how You want to use them. Maybe they're made to be in South Carolina, or maybe they're made to use somewhere else. But help us not to get focused only on our small part of the world, but to catch a vision for the bigger picture, for the bigger kingdom. So Lord, we thank You and praise You that we can have the assurance that anything we invest in Your kingdom will have great return. Guide us this day, and we commit ourselves to You. In Christ's name, amen.